Blues Live at 8, and Lounge Music and Exotica on the Bachelor Pad at 10. You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, music, news, culture, splogging, opinions, tech, cartoons, fine comments, and much, much more. My name is Rebecca. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by substitute co-host Cope Compson. Hello, Cope.
Hello there.
And we're also joined in the studio by two fine gentlemen from local breweries, Andrew, who's a manager at Blind Pig Brewery, and Michael, who is a sales representative from Triptych Brewery. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks.
And we are here to talk about the inaugural craft beer festival, which is happening on August 22nd in the afternoon at various locations around downtown Champaign. So to get us started, could you just tell us a little bit about what people can expect from this event? What kinds of things are going to be available to people during this afternoon of debauchery and craft beer?
Well, you can expect to have a lot of rare beers that you've never had from the Blind Pig Brewery, Triptych Brewing, Distill, and some other area brews. And also, let's see, we're going to have some live music there, some DJs, and some really great local food, too.
Yeah, you're going to be able to go to three different beer gardens, experience three different downtown bars, and four different local breweries. We're all going to do something a little special, timed releases. And that's the
and
gist of it, I think.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of beer. There's going to be a lot of beer available.
So both of you have sort of like dream jobs working in the beer industry, I'm guessing. And I was wondering if you could each talk a little bit about how you got involved working in beer, and also maybe talk a little bit about the brews from your respective breweries that you especially like, either that are currently on tap or in days of yore.
Go ahead.
All right. So it's been about 6 years now. I applied to be a bartender at the Blind Pig because I was having a child, so needed a little extra money. And I actually didn't really drink beer before I started bartending there. And then once I started bartending there, started to get into the whole craft beer scene. And then when the previous manager left, the owner of the Blind Pig asked me if I wanted to start managing there. And so I've been doing that for about 3.5 years. And just kind of fell in love with craft beer. As far as our beers go, you know, we're constantly rotating them. The Down Under IPA is probably my favorite IPA that we do, and he actually just brewed that today. So you can look forward to seeing that in a few weeks at the brewery. But I'm willing to try just about any different style at least once and give it a go.
Do you remember that converted you to a beer lover?
I would say it's possible. I don't really like saying this, but it was it was Goose Island Bourbon County Stout kind of probably really, really kicked it up a notch for me. It was really good. But
is that like an embarrassing admission?
Well, you know, I don't want to diss on them too much, but they are owned by Anheuser-Busch now, so mm-hmm. It's kind of, yeah, they're kind of in between. You know, it's tough to know what to do with Goose Island.
Mm-hmm. They're part of the big boys.
Yeah.
You're like the mid-sized like industry. Okay. How about you, Michael?
Well, I'll go ahead and answer that question. My favorite Blind Pig beer, I would have to say, would be Ich bin ein Berliner Weiss. It's always been really good. And the beer that kind of got me really interested in everything out there, for the most part, I just liked lighter beers. And then finally had Ballast Point Sculpin IPA, which I used to hate IPAs, and that kind of opened up the door. My palate changed, and now I can't get anything hoppy enough, it seems like. I got into beer through, I started working at Mike and Molly's, did the door there, and then did a little bartending, and then started working at Black Dog, which had an excellent craft beer selection. Mm-hmm. And there I really developed a love for beer. Worked briefly at Benny's Beverage Depot as a beer consultant, and then made friends with the guys at Triptych, and they brought me on as a sales representative for them, and it's been a wonderful ride so far.
And so what's good at Triptych? What kind of things on tap currently or kind of historically have been especially delicious?
I think our little secret, it's a hoppy ale. It's definitely a beer that you could have as a flagship. It's something that you could build a brewery around. That's really great. And our barrel-aged series, we've had some barrel-aged sours, which have been really incredible. The You Don't Want Friends with Sour number 3 sold out in the Blind Pig in under a week. And the AJ Stout that we come out with every year is phenomenal. It's up there with a Bourbon County Stout by Goose Island, in my opinion.
So I know that we were talking before the show that neither of you are brewers per se, although you said you've been kind of peripherally observing.
I've cleaned out the mash tun a few times.
So you have credentials, right? But so I was wondering, you know, it's one of the things that seems to me really refreshing about this community is that there are these really good small breweries, but there's obviously not much competitive spirit as evidenced by this festival, right? Which I mean in a good way, right? Like yeah, it's not, you're not like trying to take each other
down. The competitive spirit is more like we try to one-up each other more than we want to play well with each other. I see it more like how musicians, they cohabitate, they mm-hmm. put on shows together, they just want to get their product out and have as many people be able to try their product because they know people are going to like it. So the competitive aspect is on a different level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, it's kind of a brotherhood, so you could say it's like brotherly competition. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do better than the other guy, but you're also rooting for them at the same time. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that seems really cool about this festival is it seems like it's sort of like coming together and like the different breweries supporting each other and what they're doing. I was wondering if each of you could talk a little bit about, like, even though there's, you know, sort of a, this kind of cohabitation, like you were saying, or this kind of like ecosystem of beers in the community. I'm assuming there's a way that each of your breweries thinks about itself as distinct from the others in the community, maybe in terms of styles or in terms of atmosphere, something that kind of puts the brand or marker on Blind Pig specifically or on Triptych specifically. So I was wondering if each of you could speak to that a little bit. What is kind of the distinguishing aspect in terms of what kinds of beers people can get at each of these two places?
Well, I mean, for right now, you can only get our beer in our pub. So that kind of, and we're known for our atmosphere there. It's a really low key, you know, so that's a big part of it for us, is being able to enjoy your beer in a perfect atmosphere. And that beer garden, of course, is phenomenal on a nice warm day. And past that, you know, the brewer, I will say, is just has a huge attention to detail brewing. And that's huge when you're brewing. So many things can go wrong. I mean, if I went back there, God knows what happened. But I would say the attention to detail. And then we want to encourage people to try all different types of styles. So we're always brewing different types of styles. We don't want to just pigeonhole ourselves into one thing.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular types of styles that the brewer especially enjoys or kind of returns to that you've noticed in your time there?
So, like, he'll go on a trip. He went to Belgium. And then he came back and he brewed Belgian beers. He went to Germany and he came back and he brewed a bunch of like German style beers. So you can definitely see things like that play a role in what he's going to brew. And seasonal too, like we're going to make some raspberry wheat beers in the summer and a lot of light stuff in the summer. And then, you know, kick it up a notch in the winter, stronger stuff, darker stuff. You know, he loves everything too. So like me personally, I don't really enjoy drinking Belgians too much, so I just stay away from them. But he kind of likes a little bit of everything, so.
Yeah, and our head brewer right now is in Puerto Rico. I don't know what kind of beer he's going to make when he comes back. But he, in the past, has really loved Brett. We've had a lot of beers brewed with Brettanomyces lately, which gives it that funky barnyard quality. So it seems like every other beer, or maybe like every third beer, has some kind of Brett in it over the past few months. And also the barrel aging, just setting something aside, trying something cool and new. We've been getting tequila barrels, rum barrels, wine barrels, bourbon barrels, of course, and it's interesting to see what you could do with a beer after it ages in that.
What's the time frame for getting a new beer out? You say you brewed something today, then what does it take?
It's really going to depend on the beer. Our quickest turnaround, I think we could turn a cream ale in like 14 days. That's going to be the quickest. A lager can take up to like 6 weeks, and anything barrel-aged can take several months to impart that flavor.
We've probably put out some beers a little quicker than that. A lot of times we're putting it on quicker than we'd ideally want to, because it's also a bar. So, you know, we're open till 2 a.m. It's pretty busy. We go through beer so fast that sometimes we're forced into maybe putting beer on, you know, a few days earlier than we want to. And then you'll notice a difference in taste from the day it goes on till the last day it's on. It's changing in flavor the whole time, because a lot of times we'll put hops in the tank with it, or we'll actually put peppers in the tank with it. So it's going to get hotter as it goes on.
And how big are these tanks?
So ours right now are 4 barrels, which is 8 kegs, the big size kegs that people are probably used to. That's our system right now. We also are opening our production facility by the end of this year, and we're putting in a 10-barrel system with 20-barrel fermenters.
And currently at Triptych, we have a 7-barrel system set up right now, and with hopefully by the end of the year, we will have a 15-barrel system and also a couple of 30-barrel fermenters. So we'll do some double batching, which would lead to 60 kegs at a time being sent out, which at that point we'll probably be looking to expand to other markets, which we're really excited about that next phase.
And then world domination follows after that.
Of course, that's always the goal.
We don't want to be another Budweiser.
So you were mentioning when you were talking about the festival that part of what people can experience are rare beers that they might not typically see from these breweries. So could you talk a little bit about, maybe give a preview of what are some of the unexpected flavors that people will be able to encounter at the inaugural craft beer festival?
We will have, all the breweries are going to have something in a firkin, which will be an unpasteurized live ale being poured through a beer engine. And with those, you could add some.
Wait,
real...
that's what a firkin is?
A firkin cask conditioned beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, firkin's,
I was gonna, like,
firkin's
like,
a type of keg.
A
type
firkin?
Of keg.
Yeah.
What the frick is a firkin? We will be doing in the firkin a Berliner Weiss, so a sour beer, flavored with hibiscus. So that'll be an interesting one. I know that there's going to be one from Distill, which will have additional hops added. And which one were you doing, Andy?
I believe he just put it in the cask today. It's going to be a gold that we're going to probably dry hop to pretty good level.
Yeah, so the hops are going to be super fresh in something like that, which all the hop heads will definitely love.
Where are your hops grown?
For the most part, we get them from numerous sources. We don't necessarily get them locally because there isn't a good local source at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, when you're brewing, most breweries use pellets. Mm-hmm. So just like compact, you know, very concentrated hop source. So you're not really able to do that from like local farms. I mean, mm-hmm. you can add... Like into a cask is a good way to add some like fresh hops from local farms, and sometimes we do that.
Do you work with any local farms? I mean, are you encouraging people to get involved in this?
Yeah, I mean, our saison that will be featured at this festival, that it's part of the Illinois Brewers Guild Replicale, where all the breweries in the state brew the same type of beer and then add their own little touch. We got rhubarb from a local farmer. And we've gotten many different types of, you know, vegetables or fruit that we've added to beer from local farmers.
Yeah.
Do you collaborate at all with Common Ground?
We haven't yet. But, I mean, that's something that we definitely will look into, because our production facility is hopefully going to be next door to their new facility as well.
Yeah. And we have started packaging up our little secret, which has been available in cans at Common Ground and some other stores. We've also dealt with, we just got a big shipment of peaches from Prairie Fruit Farms, which we'll be using in a beer. We also, our spent grain, the grain that's left over from the brewing process, we send out to Muse Family Farms outside of Monticello, and he feeds his cattle our spent grain. So
that's,
we try to keep it local.
So you were mentioning that, as part of the festival, people get to experience three different beer gardens, and also that there's going to be music available. Could you speak in a little more detail about what kinds of music people will be able to see, and what are the kind of different locations that people will be visiting?
Unfortunately, this was, this all came about pretty quickly. So, only one location has a music, license. So, that will, and due to limited space too, we're going to have a DJ set up with, it's going to have some local DJs coming in. And
is that one at Cowboy?
That will be
right.
At Cowboy.
Outside, I think. Right?
Outside of Cowboy. And they'll switch in and out and just try to keep nice background music, nothing too over the top, but also showcasing their abilities.
Mm-hmm. Part of what you were saying made me think of something I wanted to ask earlier, which is, how did this idea come about to have this festival? As you were saying just now, yeah. It sort of came about rather quickly, and so
usually,
curious, what was the inspiration?
Usually you take like a whole year to plan a festival. This came together in like a month.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like all of a sudden I saw this like Facebook page, and I was like, oh, this is a thing now.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of us who are involved in this have talked about it, you know, for a few years now. Champaign needs a beer festival. Mm-hmm. Bloomington has one. Peoria has one. Springfield has one. Rockford has one. Why doesn't Champaign? I mean, it's a very big craft beer town. So, you know, we were kind of just finally pushed to the edge and like, all right, let's do it. That's basically what it was.
It's a lot of times at other festivals, at other events that are going on in Champaign. We would like to participate, but we are not always allowed to. So we kind of wanted something for us.
Is that like the cough, cough, taste of champagne
moment? I didn't say it. And I didn't say it. So
you heard it here first on Smile Flatly Radio.
How's the festival going to work? Do people buy like an entry and then get to sample things, or you choose?
Currently, I believe the game plan, we do have some glassware that will be available to be purchased, and then you treat it the same as you would any other bar. You pay for your drinks, you start a tab, and sample what you want to sample.
Yeah, you can go to any bar. There's no entry fee. I want to make that clear. You don't have to pay to get in. You don't have to buy the glassware either. You're welcome to not take home a souvenir glassware.
Will you have to be actively checking ages and give people a wristband if they're over 21?
Well, I mean, our bartenders always do that. I mean, they're pretty vigilant in checking IDs anytime someone orders a drink. So there won't be any change for us really in that department. We'll just keep doing what we're doing there. I can't speak for the other bars, what their plans are in terms of maybe adding staff or security or anything, but craft beer festivals don't usually get too rowdy. I mean, there's a lot of beer drank, but usually people stay pretty cool.
You know, that was just a general question I had. What's your demographic? Is there a particular age range that you see mostly as your customers?
It's really amazing how wide the demographic is. Bartending out at Triptych, you see people coming in that are brand new to drinking. You card them, and you have to like look really hard to make sure they're. Are you sure this is you? Okay, you are 21, and then you get the people who are.
They're gonna get crazy drinking a sour. So
you get the retired people that are coming and just want to get a growler fill to go, and it's amazing how many different people from how many different walks of life. That's kind of what beer does to people, is brings them all together, especially craft beer.
So I wanted to ask about that, because this is something that is always kind of trips me up when I think about beer. What is craft beer as opposed to beer for both of you? Because it's sort of like, it's striking, like, you know, and I like beer, I drink a lot of beer, but it strikes me as like, it's sort of like, it's the card that people who really love beer carry when they talk about craft beer, right? It's like the insider club, the special knowledge, and so.
Some people call us snobs.
Right, I wasn't going to say that on the air, but. No, so, I mean, like, what is, you know, how do you think about craft beer as opposed to just beer?
More than anything, it's who made it, you know, which brewery made it? Is it a big conglomerate, or is it, you know, there's varying degrees of little guys these days, because Sam Adams considered a craft brewery still. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a Brewers Association, so that's generally for craft beer, craft breweries. So you kind of base it on that. I mean, there's no any style can be a craft beer. It's not like limited to style.
Yeah, I would compare it to like being able to go to Farron's to get a good, delicious burger. Versus going to McDonald's and, you know, getting the typical old McDonald's burger that you could get anywhere. And you're getting a nice local handmade burger, and that's of quality ingredients that people put time and people are paid well for and everything.
So it seems like it's partially about size of production and partially about sort of like attention to detail that's afforded by that size way. So.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I will give the big boys a little bit of credit, because Bud Light and Budweiser and Miller Lite, they do it on such a large scale, and yet it always tastes the same. Unfortunately, that taste is bland.
Yeah. Across all of the brands you just mentioned, yeah. Right?
But you will notice that craft breweries, the brewers will tweak their recipes from batch to batch, so it'll be a little nuanced each time. Sometimes it'll be a little hoppier. Sometimes, like a dark beer, could be a little roastier. It's interesting how they make that all happen.
Do you have guidelines for someone who's totally new to craft beer who comes to this festival? How would you experiment? You know, what are the guidelines for learning how to taste beer and how to know what's hoppy and what's hibiscus? And
well, that's a big part of how we hire people, is you either need to know about beer or be willing to learn a lot about beer quickly, because I want someone to come in who doesn't know anything about beer, and you got to put a beer in front of them that they're going to enjoy and want to come back. And then as time goes on, they'll get a little riskier and riskier. You know, you start them with a nice lager or pilsner, and then, you know, hopefully in 6 months they're drinking IPAs.
What's like the craziest beer they could be drinking? Like, what's like the most experimental for like the most like edgy beer drinker?
You definitely don't want to. I mean, sour beers can get a little much for somebody who's
what
never.
What makes a beer sour?
It's usually the yeast that you put in it. It literally tastes sour.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that do like open fermentation where the yeast is just in the air. You leave the vat open and anything could get in there and change the beer and alter it. For some beers, that'd be an off flavor, but when you're going for a sour beer, it's a great way to do it.
If you really think about how sours are made, sometimes it makes you not want to drink them. So it's best not to think how they're made sometimes.
That's like the ultimate test of the most extreme beer, then, if you don't want to think about the process of it. Well, to finish this up here, could you, I know you were saying that this particular time with the festival has been a little bit, you know, slapdash, you know, putting together the events that people will be experiencing. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're thinking about future craft beer festivals in future years. So could you, you know, obviously predicting a little bit since the actual festival hasn't even happened, but could you speak a little bit to how the festival might grow and expand, what you kind of envision a Champaign-Urbana craft festival looking like in future years?
Yeah, well, I mean, we definitely want to keep growing it every year and want it to happen every year. So hopefully it's a success. And then, you know, kind of open it up to, well, hopefully more breweries open, you know, kind of in central Illinois and in other communities or even here, and keep inviting and kind of grow the footprint. And then that way you're drawing in people from Bloomington, Peoria who will drive in for the event. I mean, I've been to the Peoria Festival. I've been to the Spring Festival. You know, there's people willing to drive, you know, a great distance. I mean, there was just the Great Taste of the Midwest up in Madison that tons of people from Champaign go to. So,
yeah, and I think it would be great, obviously, for it to keep building and getting larger, but to have more food vendors, more music, of course, more area breweries and more special beers, and a large place for everybody to come together and celebrate all that. It could be pretty interesting in another year.
Well, Andrew, Michael, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Cope.
You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local, including food, beer, arts, music, all kinds of good stuff. And we are tonight with Terminus Victor. I forgot to say at the top of the show that we heard The Hands of Gridlock by Terminus Victor, and we're going to close out with Now All We Need Is a Reason. Terminus Victor is playing tonight at Mike and Molly's at 9 p.m. if you don't have anything else going on. Yes, and it is free. So get your booty over there. All right. Have a good weekend.